Well, I'm getting to talk to us. You know how I see this man? Him and I both lived in the Civil War. Now, I don't know if we knew each other, but we both know that we lived in another time. My good buddy David Twitchell, who lives down in Trenton, Michigan, is with me. It's been a while, too long. And how are you doing, David?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I am doing fantastic. So we both believe that, I don't know if you believe it, you were told by a psychic, right, that you lived in the Civil War at one time?
Yes, my wife, my deceased wife and I were knew each other. She told me, the psychic, that I was a female nurse.
Really?
And my wife was a soldier in the Civil War.
So you were a woman.
I was a woman, and she was a man, and we fell in love, and he then died.
Really?
And we met each other again in this life, and I swear this is true. When I first laid eyes on her in this life, I said to myself, "Self, I know you." In fact, I said, "There you are."
Wow.
I said to myself, "There you are."
Wow.
And like, I found you. Wow. And then I thought, no, I've never laid eyes on this person before.
Interesting.
So,
and we had,
but
we,
I guess again,
you know, we talked about that before too in one of our other shows. That, you know, I think each of us have what's called a twin flame. And so and we have soulmates or whatever, but the twin flame is basically your other half. This would explain why you were female the last time and now this time you're male, because, you know, we're a combination of both energies. And it's split when we take a physical form. So just what you told me, Laura, I mean, the connection that you had. How long were you guys married together?
33 years.
Wow. She put up with you that long? That's amazing.
She did.
I'm just teasing you.
She did.
I'm guessing you still miss her, I'm guessing, huh?
Always. I will always miss her, but I do know she's here. I think I sent you a picture of her soul, in fact. Do you recall?
I don't recall getting that, Dave.
I'll have to send or resend it, because I was testing my camera, and I was snapping off pictures to make sure that it was working properly. And was pointing at the window here in my computer room, and the monitor's on the right and the window's on the left, and the curtain is on the left. And I'm looking through these pictures, just these random pictures that had no meaning at all. And here is this white streak.
Remember that? I remember that now. Yes, yes.
Yeah. White streak, and I tried to debunk that every way I could, and I couldn't, because it's standing between the camera lens and the curtain, so it can't be a reflection, okay? So, and also, light travels in a straight line. This beam of light is bent. Curved. It's got a slight arch in it.
Do you think?
So I go ahead.
Do you think maybe the message she was telling you to get bent at all, or no?
It could be. It could be.
I'm just kidding. Sorry.
I know
that was bad.
But that was terrible.
I like to razz you, and you razz me. See, I call him Nurse.
I know.
I call him Nurse Hatchet, because we claim that he was a nurse during the Civil War, and he cut off my leg. And that's what he was good at, because that's what they did back then. You know, they couldn't fix you, so they chopped off your arm or your leg. And so,
and that's why I call TJ Stumpy.
Thanks a lot. And so, I don't know, we've just had this friendship ever since we started talking. And you connect with people. Don't you think there's also that connection maybe from another time period? I'm not necessarily saying Civil War, but possibly, maybe we did know each other back then.
Yeah. Yeah, I think people who meet each other, or, you know, have some passing of, you know, what am I trying to say here?
Just some kind of connection that you have, even at a...
Yeah, connection with someone, even if it's in passing. we have known each other to some extent in a previous life. And sometimes we owe them karma, sometimes they owe us karma.
Sometimes that's the case.
And the best thing, so I've been told, is just let that go.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Because you come back because I owe you karma because of something that I did to you in a past life. Okay, now I got to pay that karma. However, how much karma will you and I both build up in this life?
I know.
Trying to get the payback.
Well, this is what we're trying to overcome, I think. This is our evolution. I think that's what's going on partially now. If we are supposedly ascending or moving into a higher consciousness, which it makes sense that we're always evolving, that karma is going to be a thing of the past because it was kind of created like by universal law, but we can move past that. We don't need to. By the way, remember back in the Civil War, I borrowed you some money, just throwing that out there.
I do, yeah, but it was Confederate money, so oh, I don't still, know yet.
It was no good. You're saying it was no good. Now, were you a Confederate or were you a Yankee? Which, do you know which one?
You know, I do not know. I don't know.
You ever get drawn to like movies or like parts of the country where you would have known there was a battle? Have you ever felt that in your soul?
I have wanted to go to Gettysburg, but as time goes on, I was going to go before this COVID thing hit, and now I can't, and I'm not as young as I used to was, and I can't be walking around the battlefields and et cetera, et cetera. So I guess I'm just going to have to give that up. But I have watched YouTube videos of ghost videos of Gettysburg, and it's just fascinating, you know?
Yeah, I definitely feel I was there, and I was even told by a friend of mine that I was at Gettysburg, and I actually believe, for me, that I went further on south, and I hooked up with General Grant. I might have been with his unit, because, you know, the weird thing is I moved down to Mississippi in the 80s, and I lived down there, and at the time, I didn't care about any of that. And Vicksburg, where I lived, had this huge park, and 7 miles long, talking about some of the stuff that happened during the battle, the siege of Vicksburg. And I was not interested at all. But then years later, not long after that, all of a sudden I took this incredible interest. And I really believe now, just feeling things, allowing them to come to me. I was a Union soldier. I went and I might have died near that battle of Vicksburg. And that's why it's connected to me. And it also showed me a compassion for the Southerners. You know, people might have wanted hated them because they had slaves, but a lot of them didn't. A lot of them just did that because they wanted to keep what they had, their states the way they were. And not everybody supported slavery. A lot of these people weren't rich. The rich ones didn't even fight in the war, you know? There was that movie, I think Lincoln County War, with Matthew McConaughey, that kind of shows that even in Mississippi, there were people that rebelled and didn't want to go, and they rebelled against the southern states. And then the Confederates brought in troops, and they were able to hold them off till the end of the war, and they won their freedom. But to me, it was just... It just rings true to me that I was down there, and I'm pretty sure I died on a battlefield, and I was left there bleeding. I can feel all this. I mean, maybe this doesn't sound something like that.
No, really?
And then I was so angry because I couldn't go back and see a loved one that was up in the northeast somewhere, I believe. And some psychics told me afterwards that was your mother. Your mother that you promised you were going to go back and see. And they said that I actually enlisted when I was underage. And I just knew that I just came to see this war as such a waste of life, you know. And I would never do it again.
And now they're talking about a new one, you know.
So
the Civil War.
Yeah. But I mean, that's what I've taken the time to kind of get to know, and then I have friends that are, you know, I do this kind of show, so I got a lot of friends, and they tell me things about what they can see in my people around me People have told me that they've seen like a civil or a soldier, a Union soldier around me. So it's interesting.
Well, my wife had a great affinity toward the Civil War, and she never voiced an opinion as to why, but she was just fascinated with the Civil War and Civil War movies and documentaries and you name it. And then we got that information, you know, didn't give the psychic any heads up or reason to believe that either one of us had an affinity toward Civil War, but she seemed to be pretty adamant that that was the case.
So, as a child, and we've talked about your UFO experiences a lot, but do you have anything in your childhood going back that might have jogged a memory of another time or another place or anything you can think of that was unusual?
Okay, are you referring to UFOs or just...
any of the above. Any of the above. Even before, when you saw the UFO in 62, did you have anything unusual before that happened?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. When I was... I know I had to be under five because our family moved from one home to another when I was five. And I recall a dream still to this day when I was living in that first home of my family standing out on the lawn looking up and my mother saying, "It's the end of time."
Hmm.
And I was so real. And it wasn't until I was 14 years old that I had my my sighting where my family was standing out on our front lawn, this time in a different home, and looking up and seeing this UFO, this giant craft, emerge from a hole in the sky. And my mother said, "It's the second coming." So it's the second coming, it's the end of the world, make of it what you will.
And of course, we've talked about it before, but maybe new people are listening. You saw this right outside of Detroit, because you lived down in Trenton, right? How close is that to...
No, I was in Detroit at the time.
You were in Detroit?
I grew up in Detroit.
What part of Detroit did you live in?
Joy Road and Southfield area.
Okay.
If anybody's familiar with that.
And so...
the west side.
So people... there had to be thousands of people that would have seen this, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was 11 o'clock at night, a little after 11. So I always joke about, you know, guys would be coming out of the bar, looking up and saying, "I'm never drinking again." You know? But other people must have seen it.
You know, and then there's also... go ahead, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm just going to say that... I was just going to say, there seems to be, from what the reports, the many different reports I've read, that they can flip a switch, like they can flip you on to see them, and they can kind of shut you off to not see them. They could be right in front of you. So that might be an explanation for why some people, why only a handful have saw them. But please tell me what you're going to say.
Well, I was going to say that so many people, I don't think my dad reported it, but so many people must have reported it that they had to give it an explanation in the newspaper the next day, and to which they said, "These silly people, all they saw was the Northern Lights."
Hmm.
Now, we're in Detroit, Michigan, right?
Yeah.
Northern Lights. It's just summer.
Yeah.
And what's the odds, you know?
Right.
What's the odds? And besides, we were looking at a craft.
Now this,
we were looking at a craft, not just lights.
This craft, was it oval in shape? Is it like the typical craft? I mean, could you describe that?
There was so much, it was a huge craft. I could tell that from the lights. It was covered with smoke, not clouds, smoke. And the lights covered the entire city block. And they were of various colors, none of which were of of FAA standard. You know, there were blue, big blue lights, white, red, yellow. But blue is not really the color that goes along with the conventional craft. So at any rate, it was a craft, and it was perfectly silent. And I don't know how long it was there, because we looked over and to the left, and there was this little tornado of smoke coming down about a block away on our left. And that's when my mother said, "It's the second coming."
Hmm.
And I said, "Well, you know, if it's Jesus, then there's no running away from him, so let's run to him." And my mother said, "You stay right here." I said, "Okay."
You really?
I was glad she said that.
Oh, really?
But then all of a sudden, it was gone. And we just walked back in the house as though nothing had happened, and went to bed. So that is typical in my investigations of UFOs for abductees.
And your sister was taken, and so were you.
My sister and I. My sister was under hypnosis because when I wrote my first book, The UFO Jesus Connection, my sister's very religious. She read it because her brother wrote it. And she calls me and she says, "David, are there any other books on this UFO subject?" I had to chuckle. I said, "A couple." So I referred her to a book, Witness, by Bud Hopkins.
Yep.
And she called me a couple weeks later and she said, "I want to talk to you. Mm. Can I come over?" "Well, yeah, come on over." So we sit down at the kitchen table, my wife and my sister and I, and she says to me very seriously, "Why is the woman in this book, Witness, having the same experiences that I am?"
Hmm.
And wow. I said, "Uh-oh, a red flag."
Wow.
So we ended up taking her to a psychologist who did these abduction cases in her spare time, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And under hypnosis, she recalled the event, and she recalled them leading me, these little gray beings, leading me from the front lawn to a ladder up to the craft, up to a waiting craft. Then they came back, and they picked her up and took her up. And she said they examined her. So when she came back down, I was already standing with my parents on the front lawn looking up as if we were statues. And then they returned her to the front lawn and went back to the ladder or craft or whatever they went back to. And then we became conscious. And the craft was gone. The smoke started to dissipate. And we just walked in the house like nothing happened.
Hmm.
And my dad got a newspaper the next day, and they said, "Those silly people just saw the Northern Lights."
Now, had you not seen the newspaper, would you have kind of just forgot about it? Would your family have just not even thought about it?
Well, my family pretty much forgot about it because they were handed an explanation by the government who would not lie to them.
Mm.
And I said, "Wait a minute, that wasn't a Northern Light. I know what the Northern Lights look like. I'm just a kid.
Mm.
I've seen them in movies. I've seen them in pictures. And that wasn't it. They're not accompanied by smoke." And my mother just said, "If the government says they're Northern Lights, that's what they were." And, of course, you expect, you know, don't make the kid worry.
Right.
So I wasn't worried. I was just adamant. It wasn't the Northern Lights. So all of these people who witnessed that are They know the difference. We know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Except my parents, okay.
Well, and back then, I think also people were more willing to accept the government position as being the absolute truth.
Yeah.
And, you know, many, many, many years later. Now, this was 1962. You were how old back then?
14, I recall.
And your sister was how old at that time?
3 years my senior, so 17.
And so when was it that she approached you to tell you about, how old was she when she approached that she had been taken?
That would have been in 2001.
Really? Really? That more that recent, really?
Yeah, because she just, all the rest of her life, she just poo-pooed the thought of extraterrestrials. And at one point she said to me, "Why would God have made people on other planets?"
Mm-hmm.
Well, my reply would be, "Why would God have wasted all the space that he made with us? If we're the best that he can do, then, oh, my God."
So,
no pun intended.
No, that's fine. And so did she come to believe that this was real, obviously, for her?
Hmm? Oh, yeah. Yeah, because she, under hypnosis, she recalled all these things. And other events where she was taken up.
You know, and then you said, I think we talked about this, that she believed she had a child removed from her by them?
Yes, she was married, and her husband has passed. But when she was young and married, she became pregnant. And the doctor told her, "Hey, she tested pregnant. And come back in 3 months, and we'll check you out again." And in the interim, she had a dream that a doctor took the baby from her and put it in a basin, okay, a sink or whatever. And I guess you could call that a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
So she went back to the doctor, and he checked her out, and he called in yet another doctor to confirm his findings, and they agreed, "You're not pregnant."
Wow.
Now, typically, when, especially back then, when you had a miscarriage or abortion, whatever, you had a D&C. She never had a D&C. They didn't do one then. One was not necessary. First she was pregnant, now she is not. And so you hear that a lot in when investigating UFOs, that we humans to gestate a hybrid between themselves and us, and then after the first trimester, they take the baby.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, in your case, what did they want from you, do you think?
I don't know. You're going to tease me now that they don't want me. I'm the reject.
No.
I don't know.
This time I was not going to go there. See, David.
Oh, well, okay.
David was up there.
He
was up there for such a short period of time that we came to the conclusion, just a theory, that even the aliens didn't. It's sad when another race doesn't even want you. Your own race rejects you, but.
See, my own race tolerates me. But, you know, these aliens, they're so intelligent, they know better.
See, I think.
But as far as I know, I remember going up a backless staircase. That's another thing. My sister is afraid of spiral backless staircases. Hmm. And I recall this spiral backless staircase. Now, where better to have a spiral staircase than in a cylindrical craft, you know? Not a cylindrical, but a round craft. And I remember seeing these little guys, what I thought was at a grilling hamburgers. And what I think I saw was these guys at the controls of their craft, whatever they were doing. And it was, could it have been a dream? Could it have been a memory? Why does it stick in my mind? You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I like it was yesterday.
Well, we should hypnotize you.
You should, and I don't want to. Everybody says, why don't you get hypnotized?
I'm just kidding.
I don't want to.
We'll hypnotize you on this program and then reveal, you know, that maybe you created alien Elvis babies or something to that effect, perhaps.
Either that or they really were making hamburgers. I don't know.
We had a bunch of aliens, grays, over for a cookout one night. My dad didn't tell me. And but you wonder maybe if you've been like, because the reason they take the males is to take sperm from them so they can use that as well. And maybe they do other things too. But maybe you're a daddy of some, you know, some other
could be
beings that are in the, because usually they don't take people by accident, right?
I think they take people at random, and then they say, well, this will make a good subject. Let's continue to do so, which they've done in my sister's case. And she remembers the onset of these abductions. She remembers when she was a kid being lifted up off the bed and drifted through the window and up to a waiting craft. And as a child, she thought this was just what people did.
Was this before you saw the UFO?
Yes, sir.
Wow. That's interesting. So they were having contact before that.
Yeah. And my sister and I had, of course, our own room. And for a while there, she wanted my room. So I agreed to switch with her. And then after a while, she wanted back to her room. I don't recall how many times we bounced back and forth and what reason she may have given. I didn't care, you know. If I could sleep, let me sleep, so, you know. But come to find out later, it was because, in her childish mind, these guys were abducting her from her room. Maybe if she was in a different room, they couldn't find her.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Let them abduct Dave, you know?
Do you know how old she would have been when she first had these experiences? Did she ever tell you? Okay.
No. So, but probably 8, 9, maybe even younger. So she just grew up as a child thinking this was par for the course for human beings to drift out of their bed and through the wall.
Interesting.
But come to find out, me ain't wrong answer.
And that's what got you started. I mean, how many years later, I mean, did you follow UFO stories when you became like a young adult? Or when did you start to truly pursue that?
I was mostly interested in ghost stories, paranormal, you know. But after my abduction, I said, whoa, there's something else here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I started following that subject.
And so when did you start doing a podcast or a show? I know you have your shows on your podcast, but when did you start doing all that? When did you think about even doing all that?
Well, it was year 2000 that I retired from Ford Motor Company, and I was a die maker. And in 2001, there was a Comcast studio, and in my neighborhood, and you know, I won't go through all the details, but I got a show with them, a TV show where I could have guests come in. Well, I'm here in Michigan. It's kind of hard to, you know, find guests to sit down with me or come from different parts of the state. or other states, for goodness sake, to sit down for a half-hour TV show. So each show was aired once a week for a month. And the studio would pay for these tapings. And all of a sudden they said, no, we're losing money by doing so, so you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to pay for it yourself. Well, I would go to, not Las Vegas, but Laughlin, Nevada, and for these UFO conferences, and line it up with these big shots, like Stanton Friedman and the likes, to sit down with me and do a half-hour TV show. So I did 12 of them in a week, and that lasted me for a year.
Mm.
So it got too expensive for me to do these things, so I was interviewed on WHFR in 2001. I put out my book, UFO Jesus Connection. And one of the MUFON members asked me to come on his radio show at WHFR. And so I went on as a guest, talked about my book. And just in passing, I said, after the interview, I said, what do you think, Dad, think about me doing a show here on the UFOs? That would be great, he says. Next thing you know, I'm doing a show.
That's cool.
And they overlapped for a while, but then I finally got rid of my TV show. And now I've been doing the radio show for 14 years, minus the past year.
And you've talked to how many different guests? Because you do that once a month. So you've talked to quite a few different people, right?
Well, let's say 12 times 13. Cause I was, well, that's for the radio show, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So,
well over 100, almost 150, probably more than 150, I would guess, right?
Yeah, 156 then it would be. So, different guests and...
Now, were there any guests that just blew you away, or were you kind of knowing what you were getting into, or were there just moments where you couldn't believe some of the stuff that you were hearing?
Well... yes and no. I knew pretty much what other ufologists knew. Okay, which is just scratching the surface, no matter how you cut it. You know, but then I always call it the feather in my cap was Dr. Edgar Mitchell agreed to do an hour show with me on the radio, and. He talked to me. He grew up in Roswell, New Mexico.
Hmm.
And when he was back, after he walked on the moon, people took him aside, the locals took him aside and said, I want to tell you something. You know that Roswell thing that they say was a weather balloon? That's so much malarkey. I was there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That was a real flying saucer. They were real bodies. So Mitchell wasn't some pushover. He wasn't going to believe you just because you were a local. And maybe you were just old and senile. But you have enough of them that's telling the same story. You know, my mother used to say, if 10 people tell you you're drunk, you better lay down whether you think you are or not.
That's good.
So yeah, he believed it, and he wasn't really interested at the time because he was a kid, in 47. But
so the
but
thing
he
is,
he did become it.
And he was, I don't know which one he was with, which one that landed, Mitchell. Obviously not 11, but it must have been.
No, he was the sixth man to walk on the moon.
Okay, so Apollo 12, right? Would have been the next one.
Not a clue. I don't keep track of that. I just remember he was the sixth man to walk on the moon.
And then,
so you know, if there were two people in one mission, then that throws the numbers all off. So,
right. Well, there's usually three. There were two that went down in the lunar, whatever it was called, and then the one that circled would circle the moon and then pick them back up when they shot back up. They had to time it out just right for the LEM, I think it was called, to go back up and dock with that little capsule that we see splash down. And that guy had a fun time. He just circled the moon. Michael Collins on the first one was just, okay, this is great, okay. And I think he even reported, I think they reported that they saw some strange lights. You know, I remember you gave me some audio of Neil Armstrong that was, I'm guessing, from ham radio. They must have got that audio you sent me. Do you remember that?
On the moon?
Yeah, that he saw a craft or these, and Houston said, just ignore it, something to that effect, right?
Yeah. They saw them on the ridge of a crater, and he says, they're just looking at us. And he said, we know about, Houston said, we know about that. Go back to the, the craft. And, yeah, but they're here. They're looking at us, you know. And he says, go to a secure channel.
Oh, so this was set on regular, this came over the regular airwaves, not on a secure channel.
No. That part came over on the regular airwaves. But then some ham radio operator continued to listen in, and I can't quote you verbatim what was said, but I'd have to find that clip. And but then, he went ahead and they talked about it. You know, there are craft up here that are not ours, and they're on the moon. And he used to say, yeah, we know, okay? Just do your job, get back in, and come home.
And then
so
there were reports that Michael Collins even saw some strange lights on the other side of when he was going around the dark side of the moon. So,
yeah, not only strange lights, but they claim, now, I haven't seen pictures, I don't have proof, but there's a claim that they were mining, someone was mining on the dark side of the moon, mining the resources.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they had some bases up there, too. I've heard stories about that.
Yeah. Well, that would be a base, wouldn't it, then? If it was a
I guess it
a
wouldn't,
mining
be,
base.
Wouldn't be a guy in a helmet with a pick, you're saying.
Yeah, there's gold in them there hills. Just shut up and put your helmet back on.
like Yukon Cornelius, I don't know if you remember him.
Yeah.
Dang it, nothing. Yeah.
No.
So,
oh, my.
So you have, obviously, those were, that's the only time you saw a UFO was when you were 14. Did you see anything else after that?
No, not really. I mean, you know, you see lights in the sky, and all they are is lights in the sky. If you can't identify them, then they're unidentified flying objects in the true sense of the word. That doesn't mean they're extraterrestrial.
Mm-hmm.
But that one, I would have to say.
Now, how big would you say that?
Ours.
Would you say that was when you're looking at it? If you can remember back,
a city block long. Judging by the lights that were penetrating through the smoke, and that's another thing about those lights. They're so strong. They look like big, huge stadium lights, bigger than stadium lights. Hmm. And as strong as those lights were, the light never touched the ground.
Hmm.
So I'm guessing, and people have reported that type of thing before, and they say that it's like they're in a different time zone than us.
Hmm.
And so, go ahead.
I was just going to ask you, but that obviously was the grays, which is just one of many species that are visiting us. Have you had people that you've interviewed talked about other species besides grays?
Well, it's mostly grays, but I have heard them talk about the Nordics.
Mm.
Now, it's a theory that our human race is a hybrid of the Nordics and a simian race here on Earth. Okay? So when they say, you know, it's a theory that we've evolved from apes, well, and a little girl said once, if we evolved from apes, why are there still apes? Which is a good point, on the face of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's like saying, if you think about it, if there's such a thing as limons, why are there still lemons? Why are there still limes?
That's true.
Because the lemons and the limes weren't part of hybridization process. Okay?
So
maybe we humans were part of that hybridization process, where the apes that were left alone were not.
So somebody helped create, you know, and I look at it this way too. I really believe, just from what I've studied on it, that the Nordics are just one type of race. There are many races on this planet, and I think we came from many different places. So that's why you would have, you know, the theory was we all came out of Africa and then our skin lightened because we came here. Well, then how did it change in other parts of the world? And why would it not be like that in other equator areas, you know, where you have, you know, a different look as far as the South American and so as the Central American. So all over the world.
And Asia.
Yeah, it's different. And to me, it just makes sense that these different races were the ones that populated the planet. And here we are.
Yes.
Boom.
And here we are.
And even within groups, look at countries. Don't you think people, if you're Italian, maybe you look a little different than German? Or is that just me? It seems like even within countries, if you look at their people have slight differences. Is it because they all moved to a country and they breed within that country? I don't know. I'm just, you know, to me, it's like I think it could even be broken down by nations in some ways. You know, maybe this is why we fight over nations, because we truly have been from other places.
That's very possible. I think the bottom line, we just can't learn to get along together.
Someday we will. You know, I believe there is a battle going on right now between light and darkness, and it's been going on for maybe since we got here, or shortly after. And so, and it's really not a battle, because I believe light is flipping a switch, darkness leaves. So light gradually just comes to enters and a little more, a little more, a little more. And when enough of it comes, and eventually this world will no longer be what it's been for thousands of years. And we will return to what we kind of intended to begin with. But I think we got off course and we allowed this to happen. You know, everything that happens here doesn't, it's kind of like by agreement. So we go, you know, let's try this. Let's bring, have these aliens come in and do some kind of exam on me. Stick a probe where it really hurts, you know. I think that'd be fun. I want to try that when I go down to Earth. I think I'm going to plan my life out and go down there. And then, you know, nobody's ever taken a instrument and shoved it there.
Where are you going with this, DJ?
My point is that we've allowed this and even wanted these all these different things to go on. And now I think we're going to move back towards, you know, a time of light.
So it's not so much the on-off switch, it's a dimmer switch.
Yeah, the dimmer switch is going to get brighter and brighter. And we're going to see darkness eventually would just no longer want to be around us anymore.
Let's hope. Yeah. You and I may not see it, but it's coming.
I think it will. I absolutely think it will. So, moving on from that, you were going to talk about some other experiences that you had, unless there's more you want to share. Because, you know, there's things in that, what you were telling me, I never really knew some of those things in detail before, which was fascinating to hear about your family and what was said. And now I got just a little more details of all that stuff. It's kind of cool, you know?
You can't tell it all in 1 hour, you know?
And also, you've had many ghost experiences, I'm guessing, right? Throughout your life?
Yeah, several.
You know, are the two related? People have told me that after they've had a psychic or they've had a UFO experience, their psychic ability seems to go way up.
Well, it's very possible. I don't know, but it's not that I can see ghosts, but I have had evidence of ghosts, spirits. You turned me on to this Debbie Burgeon.
Oh, yeah, Debbie. Yep.
Yeah. She's still with us? And
She's with us, but I haven't worked with her in a long time. Did she do a reading for you at all?
She did. I came up to visit you, and you referred me to Debbie, and this was shortly after my wife passed away. And I swear, I was very depressed when I walked in to see her, and when I left, it was like a big burden was lifted from my shoulders.
Oh, that's good.
I thank her, and I thank you for pointing me in her direction, because she is good. She knew things about my wife and during and after her funeral, that the type of flowers I put on her coffin and all types of things. So she convinced me. I go into see a psychic, I don't tell them anything.
Right.
They got to tell me.
Exactly.
I will confirm or deny, but I will not tell them. Also, I was going to mention that picture of the light streak.
Mm-hmm.
I keep a picture of it in my wallet. And I went on a cruise, a special cruise with, are you familiar with Matt Fraser?
No, I don't think so.
He is quite a well-known psychic and medium. And we would have daily, pretty much when we were at sea anyway, we'd have daily get-togethers and sit around in a circle he would give readings to different people. There were like 50 of us. And everyone got a reading. And we're sitting around in this circle and talking about this spirit that is always with us, you know. And I took my picture out, took it over to him, and I said, what, if anything, is this? He looked at it for a little while, and he says, that's spirit energy. He says, I don't know if it's your wife or not, but it's spirit energy.
Hmm.
So confirmation from Matt Fraser, I think, is good enough for me. So I keep that picture on my desk. I'm looking at it right now.
Interesting.
Just to remind me, she's still here.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I feel that the two of you, we've talked about it before, and we talked about that, I believe that this is a twin flame of yours, especially when you recognized her and the love that you have for each other. And so people maybe don't quite understand. I didn't know this term until about, 5 years ago or whatever. But I've met my twin flame as well, but it's not my wife, I don't believe.
Huh?
But there's this connection that I can't explain, and this energy that shared between us. And nothing ever came of it. And, you know, you don't always wind up sometimes with those people. We have this in our head. We think, I'm supposed to be with this person. But, you know, love, to me, from my perception, and it certainly isn't the highest understanding, but love is about letting go. Love is about unconditional. So the closer we get to that, the closer I think we know what love really is. Even if I can't be with this person now, I got all eternity, you know, and it doesn't mean that, oh, we must couple together. It's like, we are all one, really. I think we're all connected, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, one way or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so,
and what was your turn before to be with that individual? Maybe your turn again in another life.
Maybe I was just being shown it this time around and another time down the road. Yeah, maybe. That's a good point.
You don't know.
It's a good point. But I think, you know, what I read about people that have twin flames, it is the most powerful love that you'll have, people say, well, what about my soulmate? Well, your soulmate, from what I understand, is a group of souls that incarnate with you. And people have said it could be 50 to 100 or whatever. And someone explained it that God, when he created the souls, he put them in groups so they could go through experiences together so that it wouldn't be, you know, you want to have somebody there to lean on, you know? And so we were created in groups. And then when we decided to become physical beings, we split our energies, male and female, so we could experience it from different angles. And a lot of times the soulmate or the twin flame will stay behind to support their other twin that's on Earth. And they said it was pretty rare that the two of them would come here unless, you know, now because I think we're shifting, the Earth's consciousness is shifting. Our consciousness, even though it doesn't appear, it is shifting as well. People are waking up. And the love of twin flames is needed to help change the world. And so more and more are showing up with their twin flames. You were like an early pioneer with your twin.
It could be, yeah. That's known as transmigrational reincarnation.
Is that what it is? Transmigration.
Transmigration.
Really?
Transmigration, yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
How does Dave know all these things?
He's a wise man who's been around the block at least once.
And at this point, forgets where he's been.
Good thing he doesn't.
Where
have to,
am I?
Good thing he doesn't have to go around that block too many more times here, right?
That's right. No, but that's what they say that is. So yeah, cool.
Yeah, I think we, you know, the whole reason that I think we come here is because we want to know what it's like to be in a physical body, because we're not physical beings to begin with. So we're spiritual beings, energy beings. So this planet Earth is really cool. And then, you know, and I see God as a being of love, nothing but love. So everything else that goes on here is kind of like what we created. And, you know, and then, you know, like with your book, the Jesus UFO Connection, which was really, I thought, very unusual name for a book when I first heard you wrote a book called that years ago. But I thought it was cool. You know, I'm open to it. And, you know, you tie in that maybe other races helped in Jesus coming to this planet. And guided the wise men instead of a star, which only makes sense. It couldn't be a star in the night. It had to be something that moved, right?
Yeah, I explained that in my book. I try to reason out, well, could it have been this? Could it have been that? Well, I rule all these things out. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean that it was a UFO or a UAP, whatever you want to call it. It doesn't mean it was extraterrestrial in origin. It just means that it couldn't have been a star.
Probably not. Probably not. Because if you keep walking after a star, you're going to go around the Earth, and then you'll be back where you are. Hey, that star is still there. Look at that.
Except that and it's reported that the star followed these quote-unquote wise men and stopped over the place where Jesus lies. So stars don't do that.
So when you came to this conclusion or this theory, I mean, this had to be removed. I mean, when you were a kid, you probably were brought up with some kind of Christian teaching, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah. We brought up Methodist.
So you never would have at one time probably been open to this idea, I'm guessing.
No.
So at some point, your belief in that kind of shifted, probably because of the experiences?
Yeah, it really just kind of hit me out of the blue. I just got up from the living room and walked into the computer room and started typing. So maybe it was, you know, my spirit guide said, okay, it's time.
Exactly.
Let's talk about this.
Well, there's been others who have talked about it too, I noticed, and so, you know, it certainly is an interesting theory, and I think that could potentially have some truth in it. It only makes sense that we're not alone. We know that. You and I both know that because we've seen UFOs, we've seen beings. So we know that we're not alone. And we would assume that these beings that have visited us have probably been around a lot longer than us, right?
I would assume.
They're a little more advanced than we are, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
At least from what we know, unless our government has secret things that are... Don't you think some of the UFOs that people see are maybe government craft, especially in the last 20 years or so?
Yeah, at the... hearings, the Senate, not Senate, but the congressional hearings on the subject. I'm not going to think of his name. Anyway, it was stated that we have some, they have some. But ours is pretty much back engineered from theirs. And I don't think that ours is as big a fleet as theirs. And I don't think that they're capable of doing as much. If they were, we could stop them from coming.
Yeah.
If we wanted to.
And then you wonder, why would the military not use these if they're involved in some kind of, you know, if you're fighting against somebody, you know, another country, wouldn't you use your top technology? Why would you hide it away? Unless it's so, you know, devastating. I don't know.
Yeah, devastating is the word, yeah.
They don't want anybody else to fall. You would just assume if we had... You know, there are people that said that we have technology to where we have bases on both the moon and the Mars, and that we've actually traveled to the end of the solar system. Do you think that's possible?
Oh, yeah. Hmm. It's very possible.
Okay, interesting.
Now, is it probable? Don't know.
Right.
I don't have proof of it.
Well, yeah. I haven't been beamed aboard anything that I recall, you know. Mm-hmm. Pretty hard to prove all that. You can go by what other people have told you. And how do you determine somebody that you think is credible?
If they have some kind of evidence, be it photographic, video evidence that can be analyzed, and when it's analyzed, they say, well, I can't figure that out. It's not faked, but I don't know what it is. And that's hitting the nail right on the head. No, you don't know what it is. So it could be anything, right?
Right.
That doesn't mean it's real, but and it depends on the person too. Like Stanton Friedman.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he's unfortunately passed, but I think he did enough investigating to state that he is credible.
Yeah, absolutely. And he seemed to take a very scientific approach, you know, as the way he looked at things without... he came to his conclusions probably after hearing and seeing so many things over and over and over, because he looked at a lot of different things out there.
Yeah.
And so is...
Otherwise, he would say, I'll put that in my gray basket.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his polite way of saying, I don't believe a word you're saying.
So... As we think about, like, there's so many things out there. Do you watch any of these shows, like Ancient Aliens, or do you ever catch any of that?
I have watched quite a few of the Ancient Aliens. They repeat, it's like with my own show. You can only talk about certain things so much, and then it's, yeah, I've heard that, okay? And another thing is with Ancient Aliens, they are really starting to reach for their...
I know what you're saying.
For their information. Where's the proof on that? Well, where's the theory? Let's don't talk about it. Let it go, you know.
Yeah,
I mean... It made a good TV show.
They have, you know, there's no question in my mind when you look at the drawings all over the world... that people had contact with beings from another place. But you can't look at every episode and try to go, well, maybe this angels are aliens too. And it's like, no, I think there really are angels. Well, multidimensional beings could be multidimensional beings. Spirits, I don't know. Doesn't that make everything an alien? And so that's kind of the hook that they go for, is that they.
Yeah, if you wanna hang a tag on it, then that was an angel. Oh no, that was an alien. That was a spirit. That was the spirit of my loved one. Quit hanging tags on it. You know.
Accept it for what it. Did you ever interview any of the people that are associated with that group?
What group are we referring to?
The ones that you see a lot in Ancient Aliens, that Giorgio and some of the other ones.
Oh, yeah, I interviewed Giorgio once.
And what did you take away from that interview?
It has been so long.
Okay, never
you
mind.
You can go to UFOimplications.com and click on We Are Not Alone and look for Giorgio and hear the entire interview.
Is there a series that you watch right now or something that you would recommend if people are interested? Is there something on TV or anywhere that you...
Yeah, Paranormal Caught on Camera.
I've seen those. Yeah. That's on the Travel Channel. Boy, the Travel Channel's really got a lot of paranormal stuff on it, doesn't it?
Yeah, they should change the name of that network.
Yeah. Where's the travel?
To the weird, it should weird
be,
channel.
You know what it should be is the Astral Travel Channel. That's what I think it would be.
Yeah. Excellent.
Did you ever do any astral traveling? I thought you mentioned something about that.
I have, and it's all very spontaneous, but I believe that it was an OBE. And the way I distinguish that from a dream, people say, it was just a dream. Well, I say, think of a dream that you had you can remember, okay? Think of that dream. It has a certain texture, has a certain feeling. You got that? Yeah, okay. Now, think of something that really happened yesterday. Yeah, okay. Now, that has a certain texture, a certain feeling. And astral projection, an out-of-body experience, is like a memory of something that has not happened yet. Hmm. Okay, that's a precognitive dream, I should say, a memory of something that has not yet happened. So that is or a place that you have never been before. And you're able to describe it. Well, how did you know about that place? I saw it in a dream. So
it's like deja vu in a way.
Deja vu all over again, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I remember somebody wrote a book or wrote something about that. I think it was a book, and they talked about often when you astrally project, you're really practicing for what you're going to do next. I think this is the case somewhat, but I mean, there's many different answers for this, but because I had them as a young child and even as an adult. But a lot of times you'll get together with other souls that are maybe part of your soul group or whatever, and you'll plan what you want to do next. And so you're kind of rehearsing it. And that kind of ties into what you just said, how you said it, and that we are, we're always creating. We always are creating new connections, and then so this will help us rehearse it. And then when these people, and one way to tell too, if you don't remember that you've been traveling, is when you wake up after a good night's sleep and you're just exhausted. That means you've been floating. Ooh, I'm going to see David.
We step out of our physical bodies to recharge, you know, and. Why that is so that you are so exhausted after stepping out of your body completely, you know, and not just hovering over your body, I don't know. But that what you're saying seems to be the case, you know.
Mm-hmm. And that's why if you don't get sleep, like you say, recharging, you know, they've proven that if you don't get sleep, it could actually kill you. Isn't that interesting?
Good. After time.
And so we need, why is it our bodies need sleep? Because we have to reconnect. And that's when we do it. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to share with people as far as your website? Or we probably should give that out again. And then maybe hopefully your shows will be coming back before too long. Any other experiences you want to share at all, David?
There's all kinds of experiences. But We have been talking for an hour. I don't think you want to do a two or three hour show, do you?
We could do a 4-day show. I have a little bit of food here in the studio with me, so I think I'll be okay. And
well, let's save this for another time. It's just devoted to my ghost stories. What do you say?
Sure. That sounds absolutely good. And again, if you don't mind telling us about your website, please.
Website is UFOImplications.com, and you can get the archived radio shows by clicking on We Are Not Alone. That's on WHFR. And you can check out all my books. And my latest one is a science fiction. It's kind of the UFO phenomenon from the aliens' point of view.
Hmm. Yeah, I remember.
So that is called A New Heaven, A New Earth. So check that out at UFOImplications.com, and hopefully you'll be able to tune in to WHFR.FM pretty soon and hear the shows live.
That would be awesome. I hope that happens for you soon. It's nice to connect with you, my brother. And love you, man. And it's good to hear from you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.